Hi, good morning and welcome. This is Seek Sustainable Japan. This is our monthly sub-series, Short Takes. I'm JJ Walsh in Hiroshima, joined by...
Hi, I'm Tova Kinooka in Yokohama.
And every month we talk about some interesting events and things happening around Japan connected to sustainable Japan. And in the Japan Times this week, they were talking about a big Sustainable Japan Day 2025. And I'll be talking about a lot of the people getting awards and involved in this, which we haven't talked about before. And Tova, you've also been active. Now that Sustainable Japan Day is an event in Tokyo.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's coming up soon, I think. Do you have the date?
The 18th. So 18th. This week, yeah. Thursday. And I think you can still go. So we'll put the link below if you're in the Tokyo area. It sounds really interesting and worth checking out.
Yes, I'd love to be there, but I'm going to be in a workshop that day for a client, actually on sustainability entrepreneurship. So
wonderful.
Related topic, but can't go to the event.
Yeah, well, you guys in Tokyo, that's unfortunately and fortunately where all the business activities are. There seems to be a lot of focus on responsible finance. One of the keynote speakers shown here, she is talking and working in responsible investment, sustainable investment and consulting. And of course, that's such a key part. I know you've probably worked with a lot of businesses also on responsible investing and consulting in the finance sector as well, right?
Right. So we don't work on the actual investment side or the kind of processes side of it, but with a lot of companies that are involved in that, and we're sort of looking more on the people side of it and understanding why is this necessary, like why do they need to consider these metrics while they're, you know, when they're investing in something. So all connected very much.
Yeah. And one of the Japan Times, Sustainable Japan in the Japan Times, did a great article with her. And she was talking about how most of the sustainably focused Japanese businesses are international, global, international, and Japan businesses. And so maybe because of compliance abroad, they are kind of leading the way. Japanese-only businesses need a little bit more work to get up. Has that been your experience as well, Tova?
I think yes. There's been a lot of pressure in the last few years from overseas investors looking at Japanese companies saying, come on, you know, we need to know what you're doing. We need transparency here. We need to see evidence of what you're doing on environmental and social issues. But actually, there are some Japanese ones coming up now, which is really good to see. We've got, for example, Mari Kogiso, SDG Impact Japan, set up here as an impact fund, and Lifetime Ventures as well, founded and run by Japanese in Japan, but investing not just here but elsewhere. They're looking more at startups rather than the big corporates, but they're very, very solid on their principles. So there are some out there. We'd love to see more of that.
That's fantastic to hear. So it's great also to see so many great, not only in Tokyo, but also outside of Tokyo, businesses that they're highlighting, giving awards to at the event. Circularity is something that's coming up, which Brilliant. Is so nice to hear.
Good. Yeah.
One of the circular companies being featured is Unicharm. So Unicharm is making diapers from recycled pulp, but also recycling used diapers.
Wow.
And of course, diapers is a really important issue in Japan, where we have a graying population. It's not just baby diapers. No. It's elderly diapers as well. So this is really meeting a big need, and it's great to have a big company on board with this idea of what is circularity, how do we make it work for our business model.
Yeah, I think that's really important, actually, that we see the big companies also taking a lead on this. It's not just the little startups that are sort of purpose-led from the beginning. It's showing us that if a company like Unicharm can actually look at what they're doing and change their ways when they're such an enormous, well-established company, that really sends a very strong message, I think, to others. So that's really encouraging to see.
Yeah. There's also a wonderful organization in Wakayama, and they're called Nakagawa Forestry, and they are focused on education, but also replanting on hillsides which have been logged. And when they replant, they're thinking about what were the native trees here, bringing back more sustainable, diverse, natural forests, also doing a lot of education. So getting kids to go out and collect acorns and then trying to replant them on vacant lands. So, and then responsible forestry, of course, is a huge issue in Japan. We have a lot of beautiful forests, but they're not all as healthy as they could be, right? So this is another key issue. And it's so nice to see selections from all over Japan in this event.
No, it's really good to see. And like we were just saying before we went on air, to see these organizations and their activities highlighted is so important, right? Because that gets the message out that, you know, we can do this. It encourages others to try as well, raises the bar for everyone. So fantastic work by the Japan Times on that.
Yeah. Another example was Nechu Gakuen. And they are focused on revitalizing the rural areas, and they're in Yamagata, I believe, and reusing abandoned school buildings, getting volunteer teachers to come in, doing lots of local events with farming and agriculture, as well as education. So it's great to see this like combination of things, like reusing the buildings that are already there, getting local people to be involved, bringing new people into the area. That was one thing Nakagawa Forestry also said. It's a way to bring people back to the rural area because they're hiring. They're giving jobs as well.
Yeah, that's hugely important.
And then another investment company, GLIN. Have you heard of them?
Yes, I know some of the people involved.
Nice. And they are focused on supporting startups, which are focused on social and environmental issues. For example, mental health and wellness, women's advancement in society, social inclusion and diversity, environmental issues, the declining birth rate, aging population, agriculture and food waste. And they are consulting with government organizations, businesses, and they said their aim is to focus on topics which Japan is kind of lagging in terms of the world stage. And these are, of course, social and environmental issues. Wonderful to see a young, enthusiastic team tackling these big issues, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, that's really great.
And you had heard of them before, is that right?
Yeah, so I know that some of the One Young World community are closely connected. I think some of the GLIN Capital people are One Young World alumni. And so they've been in sort of, in the orbit there for quite some time. So it's really good to see them recognized. They're doing amazing work.
That's great. One more interesting company, Factelier. It's a company focused on every clothing and apparel and everything being made in Japan. And I know this, when in contrast to fast fashion, right? The whole idea of made in Japan apparel and clothing is so exciting. Yeah. Just the other day, I went to a local marché inside one of the department stores, and everything is from our area. And I got cute tabi shoes where my toe is separate. I love those. And it's from Okayama. And then there's denim from our area. You know, there's so much fantastic made in Japan apparel and clothing. It's really exciting to see companies bringing it back. And then it has so much appeal, not only for people living in Japan, but also visitors, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a really, I mean, something Japan does really, really well. And it would be wonderful to see more people recognize that. And it's just a much more sustainable way of doing things. I'm actually wearing this necklace I'm wearing here is from a chopstick factory in Wajima, where I was a few weeks ago. And you know, they're diversifying again, little local market that we went to that was sort of set up after the big earthquake last year, where to give local businesses a place where they can sell their wares to other locals, but also to visitors to the region. And this lady had her stand of beautiful chopsticks, you know, bought some of those as well, but also jewelry, earrings, and you know, necklaces made in the same way, using the sort of the lacquer painting and decoration that they'd use on chopsticks to actually make jewelry. So appealing to a completely different market. So yeah, more of that, please.
That's fantastic. And then I was so glad to see a place that I've actually been, Yamaroku soy sauce. Let's bring it to the center if I can here. So they are bringing back the tradition of wooden barrel making. And so when I visited, of course, they have wonderful traditional soy sauce of high quality. This is in Shodoshima, so in Kagawa Prefecture, near Shikoku. And once a month, he's so enthusiastic about bringing back the wooden barrels. But unfortunately, the knowledge was lost for a long time. So for years, he was bringing together artisans and craftspeople to try to figure it out.
Oh, wow.
And they figured it out. Now, once a month, he's bringing people. Now, this involves not only soy sauce, but miso makers, sake makers, whiskey makers. There's so many people in different industries who really want these wooden barrels because it enhances the flavor. Of course, it's more sustainable because it comes from trees. It's like a carbon capture promotion. And then hopefully you're planting diverse indigenous trees as well. But it was wonderful to see he's also featured in this event this week. So
fantastic.
Yeah. And it was fun to actually have a place that I've actually visited myself, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's brilliant to see.
Now, you went on a wonderful walk. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So this was, I think, last weekend. Seems like a long time ago already. So we've mentioned before that Carol Fuchs is doing this amazing project, Beyond Records, which is going to be, she will be hiking or running 1,600 kilometers across the Himalayas, interviewing locals as she goes about the impact of climate change there and the glaciers melting so rapidly and how is that impacting people there, and to raise awareness of that. And as part of the fundraising for that project, she held this, organized a hike up in Mount Yatsugatake, which is on the border of Nagano and Yamanashi prefectures, about a couple of hours outside Tokyo. And a group of about, I think there were 13 of us, went from all different backgrounds. There were people working in METI, the Ministry of Trade and Industry. There were others working in sort of sustainability. There was a guy from one of the big banks, finance institutions in Japan. So a real mix of people. And we just went on this sort of, I think it was about 10K in the end, nothing for Carol. For the rest of us, it was quite a good hike. But it was really interesting just sort of connecting and obviously sort of hearing about Carol's project. But I think one of the things that we really also took away from it was just getting back away from the city, out into nature. The fact that, you know, most of us lead incredibly busy, quite stressful often lives, and just being out in that really beautiful, calm environment was such a welcome change of pace, and I think did everybody a lot of good. It also got us reflecting on, you know, could we build this into our lives more often, and actually having time just to process and think, and giving our brains some downtime, disconnected from gadgets, screens, etc., and maybe sort of talking to other people, getting different perspectives on things as well. So it was a really wonderful day for so many reasons, also great to be supporting Carol's project as well. She's leaving on the 4th of October for Nepal, so it's coming up very soon.
Coming up soon, yeah. We've mentioned it a few times. She's doing excellent work, and of course talking about areas around the world in these mountainous areas, the most famous mountains in the world. But of course they have environmental and social issues that are really important to talk about. And of course, there's parallels for us in Japan and all over, right?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because two of the people on the hike, one of them lives locally in Nagano, and another one is from that area but now lives in Tokyo. And when we were heading back to the station, they were talking about the changes they'd seen in just in their lifetime. And they weren't old, they're sort of perhaps late 30s, early 40s. And they were saying that, you know, it's so different now. The winters compared to when they were kids, there's very little snow, which means, you know, that's impacting the seasonal rhythms. The plant life there is, you know, rapidly changing. They're not getting the hard frost and heavy snow they used to get, which would kill off sort of insects. So those are, pests are becoming more of a problem and so on. So, I mean, even in that short time span, it's massively changing things here as well, not just up in the Himalayas. So it's something we really, really need to be more conscious of, understanding it and the impact that we're having on that.
For sure. Now, you've got some exciting things coming up with Global Perspectives, your business, of course, your consulting business. Tell us about it.
So every year for the last, since 2018, so going on for a little while now, we take a cohort of next-gen sustainability intrapreneurs on a sort of an eight-month program. And as part of that, we go to the One Young World Summit, wherever it's been held in the world. It's a different place every year. So this year we're going to Munich at the beginning of November. Next year it's Cape Town in South Africa. And the year after that is coming to Tokyo, which is super exciting. We've just kicked off, did the sort of kickoff call a couple of weeks ago. And then this coming week, we've got the first workshop on sustainability intrapreneurship. We'll kick off with the looking into the mindset. You know, what is the mindset of a sustainability entrepreneur? How can you, you know, sort of take a different look at what you're doing, no matter what your role or function in the organization? And then we'll have one more workshop looking more at the skills side of entrepreneurship before we head to the summit together in November. So, and then the participants move into their projects where they're actually taking on real projects and not theoretical ones, real life projects to solve an issue. They'll be pitching that to their senior executives in the end. If they get the buy-in that they are looking for, then they get funded to move it forward into the business phase. And we've had three projects now from previous years go through into that business stage. So it's really exciting to see young people being given the space and the trust, I think, by their companies to say, okay, step up. What do you want to solve? Let us, you know, and if it's a solid idea and then you can really solve a real problem and create value for the business while you're doing that, then yep, we'll fund you. Let's go. So super That's excited fantastic. To see what they come up with.
Yeah, very exciting. And of course, this is a project you've talked about for years. Mm. It must be exciting to see how things evolve and change over the years. Are you seeing more in certain sectors, like more enthusiasm or from the young people? Are you seeing like a different kind of mindset coming in, or does that reflect education changes like at the university level?
It's interesting. I'm not sure about the educational changes. Certainly in the last few years, quite a lot of the teams have wanted to focus on issues relating to mental health. And social issues, which seem to be super important for their generation. And we're talking about sort of people in their sort of early 20s up to around 30s. So, you know, for them, the issue of mental health, I think, and well-being is becoming more and more of a challenge. And particularly coming out of COVID and all of the impact of that. Equality and things as well, quality of, you know, fairness and quality of life within an organization. Last year, we also had one looking at environmental awareness and wanting to accelerate companies' actions on that. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what will come up this year. At the summit the last few years, geopolitics has been a huge issue. Unsurprisingly, with everything that's happening around the world. So I think we're getting a sense there's a huge kind of trend towards feeling really insecure about the future and wanting to take serious action on that. So yeah, it's worrying in a way. I think compared to when we first started back in 2018, it was more about sort of, yes, the environmental issues, and yes, sort of diversity and inclusion, more general, less specific. And then in these last few years, it's really ramped up a gear. I think the intensity of things we're seeing around the world in extreme weather, in polarization of values and things, is really causing a lot of unease in this younger generation. So anything we can do to support that and enable positive change has got to be a good thing. But yeah, there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's it's so important, isn't it? Because of course they're involved in thinking about, and then if you think about education and all the misinformation, yeah, which is a huge problem, sure, and also connected to politics and polarization.
Yeah.
So having these mentorship, having the training, having them present their ideas, work with other like-minded people.
Yeah.
It's a huge program. It's doing wonderful work. So I'm so glad you're a part of that.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. There was another, let's see, we can find your tech for impact.
Ah, right. Yeah. So thinking of disruption and big things that are happening out in the world, obviously tech is a huge one. We've talked a little bit about that in previous sessions, but Tech for Impact is, as it says, Asia's largest impact event. That's happening on the 7th of October in Tokyo. So if you're in the area and you want to get tickets, and it'll be people not just from Japan, but from all over the world, showcasing sort of innovation that's leveraging tech for positive impact, both on environmental side, but also on social issues as well. A lot of really interesting companies, both startups and bigger companies coming, entrepreneurs, sort of thought leaders in this space. So it should be a really interesting and inspiring day. So I'm looking forward to attending that.
Sounds great. And another upcoming and very important topic that everybody's thinking about, right? Like in the newspaper almost every day, we're talking about how is AI benefiting or hurting our sustainable targets, right? So of course, tech, AI, chat GDP, all of the advancement is so important. That's the future. But how do we think about it in a way that's going to keep that balance between the needs of our society and people and planet and profit, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really interesting. I was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago where the speaker was talking about this tech. And I think it was Christiana Figueres has a wonderful podcast with two others, The Outrage and Optimism. And if you haven't listened to the app yet, go and listen. It's brilliant. And they were interviewing somebody around tech and saying, well, is this going to be overall a positive or a negative thing? And the guy was saying, well, really, you know, tech itself is neutral. It's up to us. Historically, humans don't have a great record of using exciting new technology in a positive way. If we look at some of the examples of, you know, weapons and things like this. So it really is up to us. So I'm really pleased to see, conversations happening around this, and there needs to be also a lot of regulation, because what we're seeing at the moment is there's huge scope to do things, but not yet much regulation around, you know, who's using it and how and what for. And so those conversations need to be urgently had.
Yeah, for sure. I've just added the link for Outrage and Optimism. Yes. It's wonderful conversations all the time.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And they often have interviews from conferences, like COP conferences and environmental or social impact people that they meet, as well as three very knowledgeable people chatting about issues, but in a really funny and lighthearted and engaging way. They're all good friends as well. So it's very enjoyable to listen to.
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
There was a Ichigo, is it?
Ichigo Bloom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they are the organization in Japan that run the climate fresks. So they've got climate forest, plastic collage, this wonderful sort of gamified workshop that's open to everybody, but you can also do corporate versions, where they take you through, it's facilitated by people who've gone through the training there. And they've got their first digital collage, looking at the impact of digital lives, of all our gadgets and our energy use and so on, connecting the dots between, you know, where that comes from, how it's made, what is the impact, how we're using it. And it's first time it's been held in Japan. I think the game itself is quite new, so really looking forward to that this coming weekend. I think it might be fully booked already. There's a waiting list if you are interested, but I'm sure they'll be doing more of it. So this is, yeah, super excited to see what comes up in that.
That looks really interesting and another tech-focused event, but more about like diversity, inclusion, as well as those social impact, environmental impact issues. Fantastic. And very excited to see in the chat that Seichiro Murayama has now rejoined as a member. It's wonderful to see you here. Thanks for joining. We weren't streaming for some reason in the beginning to YouTube for some reason. Okay. But it looks like we're going again. So I'll re-upload to YouTube later if the beginning of our conversation was missed for some reason.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Now, Tova, you've been back for about a month in Japan after being in Europe for a while. Anything, like, I often think about this, like when I travel abroad, things I miss about Japan. And then things I appreciate about other countries. And then when you come back, you're like, oh, I kind of, you want to combine things from your travels and then back in Japan. Did you have any of those kind of feelings when you came back or when you were away?
Interesting. I think it's sort of appreciating just that the cleanliness, Japan is clean and well-organized generally, and the safety is a huge issue. It's something that I'm so conscious of now. Every time I go outside Japan, just, you know, the fact that I can walk around as a woman, you know, coming back late at night, no problem at all. That my kid, you know, my son, younger child who's 9, takes the train to Yokohama by himself, 20 minutes, I don't have to worry about it. So that safety aspect is incredibly important. But I'm missing the cooler weather, I have to say. The humidity, we were just talking earlier about the fact, you know, we're still needing air conditioning a lot of the time, and it's
still melting.
It's getting worse every single year. So, and we get a lot of comments of people just saying, you know, it's hot, isn't it? And it's like, yes, but let's think about why that is and what we need to change in our habits. So, yeah, I'm still concerned about the lack of awareness, really, and the lack of individuals realizing that they can take action. It's not just waiting for the government or big companies to change things, but that we all need to be considering lifestyle changes as well. So one of the things that's obvious when I come back, I think.
Fantastic. And those are things that a lot of international visitors that I talk to almost every day, they're always talking about, oh, I can't believe these little kids are commuting to school on their own. This is amazing. And then I talk about, you know, like the first year students, they have a special cover on their bag. Yep. So people are more aware, the community is watching out for them. Yeah. Usually you'll see local people help them if they look lost or scared or something. Yeah. And I remember my son going on his own and I was like, there's no way this kid can do that, you know? And then following him, but then seeing local people at crosswalks come out and help them cross and things. Yeah. So that community, the public decency to politeness to people you don't even know in society, that always comes up. The cleanliness for sure. Yeah. But then on the other hand, the lack of garbage cans, you know, like the it's always an issue. But one thing also in the Sustainable Japan Day event coming up is the Hanshin Tigers Stadium.
Oh, right.
Which is zero carbon. Like they're a carbon neutral baseball stadium.
Okay.
So that was really exciting to read about. And then there's one station, train station, which they have also oversee, Setsu, mm-hmm. in the Kansai area, which is also carbon neutral and everything's powered by renewable energy. And this goes back to 2010. So this is a great initiative. We would love to see more carbon neutral, renewable energy powered train stations in Japan, because talking about wonderful things about Japan, the transport is fabulous, right?
Yeah, no, it really is.
So if we can move those up to being powered by solar panels and, you know, having wind power nearby, or, you know, what a great part of the sustainable Japan brand in general.
Exactly.
If we can get all the train stations to be renewable energy powered.
That would be quite something. And it would be a very visible example as well of what's possible. So,
And we have sports fans around Japan, of course. I'm in Hiroshima. We're big CARP fans. So that's another point of pride, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and the stadium is carbon neutral. It's all renewable energy. I mean, we do have solar panels on the Zoom Zoom Mazda Stadium for CARP. So that's great to see, but I don't think it's 100%, you know, empowered. How about in Yokohama? You got the Bay Stars, right?
We have. I'm ashamed to say I don't really know. I will look into that for next time.
Yeah, me too. So now I'm going to research
our
local stadium. It's always good to know about, right?
It is. And, you know, sports has a huge impact. I mean, obviously, environmentally with the infrastructure and the buildings and things. But it's also got so much potential to reach a lot of people who might.
Yeah, for sure. That's our 30 minutes. Thank you so much for joining us and hope you'll join us again next month. Thanks, everyone. Take care. See you next time.